Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino with some special bonus coverage here as we get to the end of the Big Brother season. We're going to be joined by Big Brother casting director Robin Cass, who is just getting ready to begin casting for Big Brother Canada 6, which is going to be coming back to Global in 2018. So we're very excited for that and very excited to have Robin here with us on the podcast. And then we're all getting ready over here for the Big Brother 19 finale on Wednesday night. Taryn and Brent are going to be live after the finale here on robasawebsite.com. Make sure you don't miss that for the first word in reactions to Big Brother 19's winner. That's coming up on Wednesday night. And then I will shortly thereafter have my interviews with the entire cast of Big Brother 19. I'm going to the finale and I will be in the Big Brother backyard. So make sure you don't miss any of those interviews on my YouTube channel, robhasawebsite.com/YouTube, and of course, in this very podcast feed, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. I'm very excited to bring in this guest, somebody that I've wanted to talk to on the podcast for quite some time, and now here she is here in the finale of one of the Big Brothers that she worked on, and in the very early days of the preseason of the return of a Canadian Big Brother season. Please welcome Big Brother casting director extraordinaire, Robin Cass. Robin, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Very good and very excited to finally have you here with me on the podcast, Robin.
I know. I just heard you say you've been trying to get me on. When have you tried to get me on?
Well, I wouldn't say so much that I was trying, but I was hoping that it would ultimately come together. And much like,
and
you know, The Secret,
together.
Yes, eventually the universe brought us together. But you and I have known each other for, I know, Robin, I don't know if this is dating you more or dating me more, but it's 15 years since
Holy
you and I first met.
Yeah. Has it been 15 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We've known each other since before Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could say that I had a little bit to do with you being on Survivor. That's fair,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And somebody on your team took a chance on some idiot who was talking nonsense back in 2002 and actually picked up the phone and called me. And I thought one of my friends was pranking me. And no, it was just a wild experience to even be involved. And even once upon a time that you called me up you broke my heart one time. I know it's not your fault, but I was so distraught, Robin.
Isn't the whole process crazy though? From that first phone call, it's a wild ride, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the whole thing was very surreal. And especially for me, not knowing anything and being 24 years old.
Right.
I think I was 23 at that time. And the whole thing was the craziest thing that I had ever experienced to that point in my life.
And it's still going for you.
Still
the
going.
Ride
somehow.
Is still
yes. I've been able to hold on for quite some time. And much more impressively, you have been able to hold on over all this time. Can you believe that we are almost at Big Brother 20?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, you know, I started casting Big Brother US season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done, now this will be my 6th season of Canada. So, I mean, Big Brother has played a very large part in my life for many, many, many years.
Yes.
I know I still look like I'm in my 20s,
yes.
But yeah, I'm not.
Yes. Well, we have the Skype video open. I can tell you that Robin looks exactly the same as she did way back when.
Yeah. God bless. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, let me just say this up front. So Big Brother Canada is coming back thanks to a big...
A huge thanks to you.
Wow.
I mean, seriously.
There were a lot of people that would not let go. They said, from my cold, dead hands, you'll take Big Brother Canada away from me. And so Big Brother Canada is back, and we're all very excited about that. And so the casting process is underway. And so if you want to send in your video or come out to one of the open calls that are also here on this website, go to BigBrotherCanadaCasting.ca and get all of the information about
that. And the number one question is, can I do both? What do I have to do? If I do one, do I have to do the other? Listen, I've said it a gazillion times. I'm definitely a broken record. You are able to do one or the other. You are welcome to do both if you want, but you don't have to. So for all of the people who are complaining, why aren't you coming to this area? Why don't you come to this area? It doesn't matter.
The Canadians are complaining, Robin.
Even the Canadians. Shocking.
It is shocking.
Even the Canadians. And listen, there's only a few of us. It is a large country, and we try to go to the places that are heavily populated with people. That's the bottom line. We want to go places where there's going to be large open calls. So all of the smaller areas, we love you. We want you to apply. We want you to represent on the show. You're just going to have to do it from your computer if you can't make it to the open call.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Now, have you ever seen somebody at an open call and say, okay, we really like this person, but they sent in a video and then you play the video and it's like, oh, the video actually wasn't that good. That's kind of a deal breaker.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not a deal breaker. Some people are better in person. Some people are more relaxed when they're at home. If you are really good at one or the other, we'll bring you in for a semifinal interview. A lot of people will send their video in and then a few weeks later, they're like, you know what? I hated that video. I think I should go to an open call. Then great. We're going to see you at the open call and you might be great then. And we'll definitely move forward with you. So if you bomb one, that is a great reason to go to the other. But again, you don't have to do both. And if you bomb one and you're great at the other, we're still going to want to talk to you for sure.
What's the biggest difference for you casting the Canadian version and the U.S. version?
You know, there isn't a huge difference. The biggest difference is that the Canadian version is still kind of fresh and new. And there's definitely a different sort of excitement when we go to Canada. You know, they're still excited that we're there, especially, I mean, I think this season it's going to be a whole different level of excitement after the hiatus and coming back. So there definitely is kind of a fresh, new feeling that Big Brother Canada still has in the casting process. Here in the States, not that there isn't that energy, but a lot of these people have auditioned for 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. And although I tell people, yes, keep going, keep trying out, your life changes, you're a different person. I think that a lot of the people here in the States maybe are frustrated. It's not as light and fluffy. There's also so many opportunities to be on a reality show here in the States. So if somebody wants to get on a reality show, there's a million different places they can go. And so it makes our pool a little bit smaller here in Canada. I don't think there's quite as many opportunities. And I still think that, you know, Big Brother US is so big in Canada. So there's just sort of a different energy there.
Yeah, that's interesting. So in terms of the lack of competition for reality stars in Canada, does that manifest itself more on the applicant side or on the recruit side where, say, hypothetically, somebody is being recruited to be on a reality show, they might have more opportunities for other shows in the U.S., as opposed to in Canada, that there's fewer shows for them to go on that are filming in Canada?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I don't even know how many Canadian reality shows there are. I could be misspeaking because clearly I'm not living out there. I don't know all their shows. But I know out here it is saturated, you know? Now, listen, that being said, I understand there's only a very small pool of the greats. You know, I still think Big Brother is one of those. Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, The Bachelor, Project Runway. I mean, shows that have been around for a really, really, really long time, that the audience is going to stick with those shows through thick and thin, good and bad. And, you know, that's something that I love about the Big Brother audience. Something I love and hate about the Big Brother audience and viewers is that I do think it's more of an elite experience versus maybe a show that's been on just for one season or a new show. I do think people want to participate in a show that's, you know, that's been around for a while.
I'd love to get your opinion on just the changing culture of Big Brother in general, both in the United States and in Canada. Now, you're somebody that you've been with the show since its infancy and have watched it develop over all these years. I know you're also on social media, so I'm sure you're very aware of all of the conversations that happen online. Do you feel like that the Big Brother fan base has changed over the years, or do you feel like that it's similar still now, just people have different methods of communicating?
I think it's night and day. I literally think it's night and day. I think social media has added a completely different aspect to Big Brother than any other show. And, you know, because of the live feeds of Big Brother, it enters, you know, a place that no other show goes to. The fans are so passionate about what they see and what they do and what they hear and how they play, more so than any other show. So you might have dodged a bullet. But yes, that being said, I would say probably in the past, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, I do think that social media has changed the way people's experiences are. You know, I think these people come out of the house and they're treated like celebrities, they're treated like villains, they're treated like heroes, they're treated like, you know, as these kind of fictional characters. You know, it's so interesting during the casting process of Big Brother, we talk to people, we interview people, and I'm not saying every single person says this, but the majority of people will say, I just want to win. I will lie. I will cheat. I will steal. I will backstab. I will do whatever it takes. I don't care about anybody else. I just want the money. I'm there for the money. And listen, that's what you should be there for. All of a sudden, someone's in the house doing those things, and the audience is judging them for it. You can't lie. You did this. You did that. I can't believe it. You're so mean. You're so this. Hold on. This person is doing whatever it takes to get to the end. You know, Paul is a great example of this. You can love the way he's playing. You can hate the way he's playing. That guy is playing. That guy is doing whatever it takes to get to the end of the game. Good, bad, you love him, you hate him. I mean, clearly the audience is really split on him. But I admire him just for putting it all out there and playing. And I think that sometimes the viewers have a hard time kind of separating the two. You know, a lot of people say, when I go in the door, leave the morals at the front door, leave my life at the front door, I'm a whole new person when I'm inside that house. But yet when they come out of the house, the audience can't separate the two. They think because you lied in the house, you're a liar in the real world. Because you did that in the house, you'll do it in the real world. And I think sometimes they're unfairly judged. And I'm not speaking for everybody. There are things that have been said in that house that I would never say, hey, it's just, you know, I mean, some shitty things have been said in that house. But I do think people need to separate sort of the game person, the player, from the real life person. And I think social media, it's a very gray line.
I don't know how many of the fans have an issue with Paul being sort of an immoral person. I think that people are just frustrated where it seems like that there's been a lack of resistance to, and maybe that speaks to that he's been so good this season, or he's had an advantage as a returning player. And I feel like that the frustration comes from, I think it's in a lot of ways like the way that politics is covered, in terms of like there's like a 24-hour Big Brother news cycle where it was, you know, with just the TV show, there's plenty of time in between it. But with, you know, so many hours in the week and the live feeds going on constantly, there's just this conversation that goes on the entire summer over specific characters, and it just tends to boil over a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree with all of that. And unfortunately, the people inside the house, unlike politics, the people inside the house can't defend themselves. Mm-hmm. They can't come back and say, hold on, guys. Like, you know, yes, they have the diary room, but they don't know what they're responding to. So, you know, they definitely, when it comes to the real world, they definitely have a disadvantage because they don't know how they're going to come out. They don't know if America loves them or hates them. They don't know, you know, what you liked them doing or what you didn't like them doing. They don't know if you liked their showmance or their bromance or, I mean, they don't know that stuff. So, you know, unlike Survivor, where you shoot, you come home, there's a little bit of downtime, and then you get to watch the show with the audience and kind of feel it out. Do they like me? Do they not like me? Are they into me? I mean, even when you were on, it was sort of pre social media.
Yeah, you could say, I've seen you say to Dr. Will on Twitter that you gave him a sick burn and talk about how that the players nowadays don't have a VCR to watch his tapes. You could say the same thing.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just making fun of myself also. So listen, I'm not making fun of you for him. It's the three of us together in this world.
Yeah.
But you know, that is when it comes to the aftermath. With Survivor, it's just different. It's a slow process. You come out of your house, a few people have seen the first episode, and then in a week, a few more people have seen and Big Brother, it is smack dab, hit them in the face. You know, they walk out, the first person asks them for their autograph, and it's confusing. They haven't heard or seen other people in 3 months, and now all of a sudden, it's like a whirlwind of, I love you. I hate you. You're good. You're bad. You should have won. Why didn't you win? Crazy world.
Right. And that's something I always talk about being the difference between Survivor and Big Brother, where these people will come out of this house on Wednesday night and they will just be bombarded by people and they have no idea. And Paul, he knows what's up because he's been through it before. But all these other people that they really have no idea what to expect. And it'll just be all these people that have been watching all summer will all reach out to them simultaneously. And it's sort of can really distort their worldview as Survivor is sort of like you go out there, you have your experience, you come back, and then the cast is released and then the shows start to air and you're a little bit more like the frog that's in the pot of water that's gradually getting hotter and you have a little bit more of a chance to adjust before you get boiled alive, whereas you're just thrown right in with everybody coming out with Big Brother. So, you know, I think this is an interesting thing that I'm sure that when these people get out of the house on Wednesday night, you're phone will be blowing up. You were sort of like the last point of contact for all of these people that were into the show. And then when they come out, I'm sure that they will be constantly, reaching out to you, at least in the initial couple of days after that, you know, you were the last person that they talked to. I mean, what do you say to people when they come out of the house and what type of advice do they look for?
Well, they never listen to the advice.
Yes.
So I know that from the beginning. I will usually give each one of them a call. I'll wait a couple days because I know those first few days are insane. Every person they've ever talked to their entire life wants to get a hold of them. So I'll usually wait about 4 or 5 days. The final two or three, I might even wait a little bit longer. I make sure I just check in with them. How are they doing? How are they adjusting? What questions do they have? Some people are like, no, I'm great. This is good. It's fun. I get it. Some people want to know about social media and how do I respond and what do I do? And I try to give them the best advice possible, but it doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people, you know, will question just like about their lives afterwards and what is just sort of life advice you give afterwards? You know, what would I say after you come out of Big Brother? There is a teeny weeny window of opportunity that lasts just a few days. So I say to them, you know, don't pack your bags and move to LA and think you're going to be a rock star model or an actress just because your social media says you should. Please don't listen to them. I would say stay where you are, stay in the job that you're doing, and get the best benefits of that job possible. Whatever the job might be, I guarantee there's going to be people who are going to want to take meetings with you and are going to want to see you, and their parents know who you are and their kids are big fans. So whatever that job is that you have, that you're already trained, that you're already good at, take that time, make connections, get another job immediately, and you will find that it will end up helping you. Now, mm-hmm. if you come back home and you're like, oh, I want to start a freaking podcast because
we have enough. We have enough of that.
I'm going to, you know, go from club to club and mm-hmm. do signings. And like, listen, there's no way I can tell you not to do that. I guess it's fun and it's exciting. I get it. But when that ends, now you're just a person without a job mm-hmm. and no money if you didn't win. So, you know, there are those few people who have taken the opportunity to better their lives where they already were before they left, in their town, in their city. They're probably a big deal there. You come to LA, they're a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. LA will eat you alive. Take those moments, those opportunities, and use them. People are going to want to talk to you, but I'm telling you, and you know, that window is a lot smaller than people think.
Right. And getting smaller all the time. And yeah. You make a great point about how, you know, these shows can open a lot of doors, but they are not the door. It's not like, okay, I've made it to Big Brother. Now I've made it. There's lots of other, you know, meetings and opportunities that can be had because of that. And a good thing to keep in mind for future contestants that are going to be on Big Brother Canada 6 coming up at the beginning of next year. Do we know that because of the hiatus, Robin, is Big Brother Canada, that, do you know, is it scheduled to still air at the same time?
I believe so, but that would be a world that has nothing to do with
right.
me. I don't know. I don't have a date yet of when it's supposed to air. I mean, we are casting at the same time that we've been for the last few years. So I would imagine it's going to air around that same time, but I don't know, give or take a few weeks here or there. It's usually February, March-ish, around there. I just don't have the exact dates.
Is there a specific person or type of person that you're looking for, that if I went to your dream board and you had, like, at the top of your list, what is the type of person that you're looking to cast?
You know, I get asked that probably. It's probably the number one question in any interview is, like, what are you looking for? And after, you know, 20 something seasons of Big Brother, I'm looking for something I haven't seen. So I don't know what that thing is. You know, I'm looking for someone to come up in front of me and they have a different look, a different way of speaking, a different accent, a different inflection in their voice, a different laugh, a different, like, there's something where I'm like, oh my God, like, what? I haven't seen that before, you know? So it's not something I can necessarily put my finger on it, but it is those memorable people that at the end of an open call day, when we see 400 or 500 people, there's usually two or three people that stick out in my mind, that I remember what they said. I remember what they wore. I remember something about them. And that's why I always say to people to stay away from those cliche Big Brother sayings. You either love me or you hate me. I could be your best friend, but if you backstab me, I'll be your worst enemy. Blah, 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 blah. I've heard that a million times. But if someone comes in front of me and says or does something that I haven't seen before, that's the person who's going to stick out in my head. That's the one I want to spend more time with and meet with them.
So do you ever get convinced of a person, or do you feel like, are you just at that point where you have this 10,000 hours of doing this, that a person walks in the room and within, like, the first time they open their mouth, you know, okay, this is a person that is probably going to be on the show?
There's a little bit of both. I think that there definitely have been people throughout the years that the second they walk up, I'm like, they got it. Like, that's it. That's what I want. Absolutely 100%. That being said, sometimes those people, I'll bring them in for finals and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. They mm-hmm. were really fun in front of an audience of people at an open call. They can play off different people. They had different energy and they come in and it's like, wah, wah. Then again, the same exact thing can happen the opposite way. Somebody can come, I can watch their video. I can see them in person and be like, you know, I don't love them. I don't hate them. There's something kind of interesting about them. I'm interested, but I don't know. Sometimes it's that person who can surprise us and we're like, oh my gosh, there was so much more behind there. So I would definitely say we want to talk to people who are average and better. Mm-hmm. You know, people who were interested in to hear more about their lives, what they do. That's who ends up getting a chance to move forward.
How much are you surprised by specific showmances that get together? Or do you feel like, are you so good at what you do that you sort of like, you have these people on the board and like, okay, well, Cody's going to get with Jessica. Okay, Matt's going to get with Raven. Or do they surprise you?
I am completely surprised every year. I would love to take all the credit for it and be like the world's best matchmaker. And I'm so good at this. I'm telling you, every single time I try to guess the showmances, They're always wrong. Mm-hmm. They're literally always wrong. The funny thing is this last season, and I've told them on Big Brother Canada 5, one of the only showmances I ever guessed in all my years were Dylan and Emily.
Why?
And they're still together, which is so funny. I don't know. I just met the two. There's a quirkiness in her and a little bit of a sexiness in her that I thought that I just thought the two of them mm-hmm. would end up hitting it off. And as random as it is, I said Dylan and Emily. And if I go way back to season 14 of Big Brother US, I thought Frank and Ashley would get together. And it was, you know, it was for a short moment.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever called another showmance in all of my years.
Robin, are you going to have anything to do with Celebrity Big Brother?
Not really. I mean, I'm not a celebrity booker. I do have people know that I cast the show. So a lot of requests have come in mm-hmm. to my email and I'm sort of part of the conversation. But honestly, I don't make those deals. I will pass everything over to production and they will be making the final choices.
And then in terms of the Big Brother 19 cast, do you have like one success story that you feel like the new person that panned out the best out of anybody that you put onto the show this season?
Success story. Well, you know, I will say that from casting, I had a huge soft spot for Josh. From the beginning, from the first second I laid eyes on him, he was such a fan. I actually have a funny story that I usually go from room to room to kind of say hello, tell the people who I am. If they're so excited, I like them to see me before the casting process so they can get sort of any nerves out. And I walked to Josh's room and he flipped out. Oh my God, why are we cast?
Are you kidding me?
He's screaming. And I'm like, calm down. You're good. Oh my, Kevin, your hair. Oh, so we're talking for a few minutes and I leave his room. I'm in there for 5 minutes. I leave his room and shut the door. We're in a big hotel and I'm walking down the hallway and I could hear him. Oh my God, that just happened. Oh my, I just thought it was the funniest thing. So that was cute. But in his interviews, he was just fun. He was just, he had great stories about his family, clearly, how close he is with his family, clearly. And he was a big fan of the show and we just loved him. And I'm happy that the audience, for the most part, I think, have kind of taken this journey with him. I mean, obviously at the beginning, he was really homesick. He kind of wanted to leave. I think people didn't like him. Then he kind of did this, I want to be big, larger than life, a little bit of a bully in the pots and pans. And then after he kind of went over that hump, I think where he is now, I think that that viewers have finally kind of understood and fallen in love with him and got to see kind of this interesting journey that he took going in as scared and crying and bullying. And now to this place of like, holy crap, I'm this close. This is my dream. And I think a lot of people have sent me social media just in saying, like, I didn't like him at first, and I've really grown to like him. So I'm thrilled with kind of the journey he's taken on the show.
Yeah, he's been a character. All right. Well, if you want to get involved with and go on your own journey and you live in Canada, Big Brother Canada Casting.ca, and you can be a part of Big Brother Canada 6 if you impress Robin Cass enough.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, well, Robin, I know it's the end of a long summer for you. You're just getting started on this next adventure, but thank you so much for making some time for us today.
Thank you so much. And hey, again, thank you so much for bringing the show back to Canada. It has a lot to do with you and your listeners and all of the viewers and listeners in Canada. We really appreciate it.
All right, well, I very humbly appreciate that. And I hope to see you on Wednesday night at the finale. You'll be there?
I'll be there.
Okay. All right. Take care, bye. Robin.
Bye, hon. Take care.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Robin Cass here on the podcast. Very fun to talk with her about everything, and definitely look into that Big Brother Canada casting if you are so inclined. Very excited about the Big Brother 19 finale coming up this week. In addition to getting all of those interviews for the YouTube channel and for the podcast, we are also going to try to do some behind the scenes footage of going out there and everything that goes on that night. And we'll do that as part of our Rehapisode series. That is the patron only exclusive video series that we've been producing for our patrons on Rob Has a Podcast. So if you want to find out more information about that, you can check out everything going on Patreon. If you think we're working hard on the podcast, wait till you see how much stuff we're doing for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more information at robhasawebsite.com/patron, or click on one of the banners of robhasawebsite.com. Of course, so much Survivor preseason stuff going on as well between our preseason interviews with all the players in Josh Wiggler's First One Out series. Don't miss any of that when you're subscribed to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing what you guys had to say about this interview, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.